Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I hear two people. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you. Much better. So good to be here in God's house. How we normally do a Memorial Day weekend here. First of all, welcome to each of you and those who are here for the first time, those are returnees. Good to see you. Emily, I tell you what, I've known you since a little baby. It's good to see. I didn't know you're coming here and your hubby. Good. Welcome back. That's great. We have a few visiting ministers with us today. We're blessed. Brother Joe Gerber, Elder Brother Joe Gerber here in the audience, I think. I don't see you right now, but he's from Champaign, Illinois. Brother Tim Dreher from Bluffton, North Indiana. On my right, Brother Chad Heiniger from Sarasota, Florida, and Brother Eric Wiegand from Goodfield, Illinois. So welcome. We appreciate them. And Tim and Joe, they are speakers up at the Alive facility there. So for yesterday and today, later today. So it's a blessing to have them and blessing to have each one of you. You know, today is Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, and also it's a special day. I don't know if you knew, but it's Pentecost Sunday. What is Pentecost Sunday? When the Holy Spirit came down. Remember, they were gathered together in the upper room there. Jesus told them, go to Jerusalem and wait. 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 Remember, Jesus died, rose again. Pentecost is, 50 days after, I think it's Passover. Anyways, you're there. And what they did, they listened. They were obedient. They went to Jerusalem and waited. And what happened? Holy Spirit came down. It's like cloven tongues of fire on their heads. You know, they spoke different languages, understanding each other. It was a great time. They're filling with the Lord, filled them with his power, with his presence, with joy. They were emboldened to go out and share the love of Jesus with others. And that's where the kingdom spread like wildfire. Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. So it's a special day today. And we want the Holy Spirit to be glorified in our lives, to be filled with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us the fruit. There's fruit. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit, much. And so anyway, we just want to think about that today. That's not our topic per se that was, you know, presented, but I do want to mention that. So praise be to God for his presence here, his Son Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit who is with us today. And so today, yesterday, the topic was about God's love to us. Each one of you. He knows you specifically. He has his love cast upon each of you so strongly. You are loved mightily and miraculously. You've got to receive that first. If you can't accept God's love, and don't, you know, it's a miserable life. If you don't know that you're loved by God, going through this life is just absolutely miserable. There's a lot of people that don't have that hope and realize that they are loved. Today we're going to talk about our love to God. And later will be the topic, God's love through us or to others, okay? So, first of all, we're going to read just a couple scriptures, not a whole lot, but two different places specifically. And so let's open up to first in Matthew 22 and 36 to, well, let's read 34 to 40. Matthew 22 from verse 34 to 40. And a great question comes up here. We all have questions, don't we? We question things. Maybe we don't understand everything. Questions about life. Maybe small questions asking each other. Maybe big questions we bring to God. I don't know. Maybe big questions we have, but we don't bring to God. I don't know. But here's a great question brought forth here. It says this, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now, if you know what a lawyer is, I'm not a lawyer, but if you go to court, lawyers ask questions. They know how to pry, get information out, try to maybe twist things a little bit, just whatever it's going to take, right? Okay? Here's a lawyer here. Ask Jesus a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, I don't know if this man truly cared, could care less or not, but he put forth a question. He said, tempting him, tempting Jesus. Sounds like his heart wasn't right. Let's see. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus. He's Jesus right there. Now listen to this. Jesus said unto him, unto this lawyer, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto this, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So today we're going to focus on the first commandment this morning. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. What does that sound like? First of all, we heard about God's love to us yesterday. The agape love. What is the agape love? Unconditional love. That means you are loved no matter who you are. Okay? We're these humans God created, not just, but we're truly loved in his sight. So again, how can we love a God who we don't see that loves us? It's hard to do, okay? We can't give what we don't have. You can't give anybody what you don't have, can you? If I have, you know, I'm going to pick out someone here, I'm going to give you $100, but I only have $10 in my pocket, it's kind of hard to do, right? I can't give it. I don't have it. So if Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then another place it says, and strength, how do we do that unless we have it? It's God's love through us and in us first. Once he gives that to us, we can give it back to him. We're going to break this down a little bit, but we're going to read in one other place first, and then we're going to talk about love. Okay? Let's read in the book of John, chapter 21, the last chapter of John, and from verse 14. John 21, from verse 14. And this is after Jesus died, was resurrected, and it says this. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And now Jesus is going to have a conversation with Peter. Okay? If you don't know who Peter is, he was one of Jesus' disciples, and he was one that spoke up really quickly. He was one of those, he loved Jesus, and you never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. And just not long before this, before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus said to him, Peter, you are going to deny me three times. What does deny mean? Deny means, I don't know nothing about you. You know, go do something. And there's maybe, you know, some kids, it can be any of us adults too, but kids, something happens, and one kid says, no, I didn't do it. It was his fault. No, they said, he did it. No, she did it. You know, right? You're passing the blame. You're passing it on to someone else. No, I have nothing to do with it. It was not my fault. It was not my whatever. You're denying. You're saying it's not true. That's what Peter did to Jesus. One, two, three times before the cock crew twice. He said, different people came up to him and said, hey, you were with them, man, weren't you? You know, you look familiar. Or, you know, hey, weren't you with them yesterday? And I see you last night, whatever. Jesus is like, no, I don't even know the person. Who is this man? Think about when it happened. I think, you know, it said Jesus and Peter, basically they caught eyes after the third time there. Jesus saw Peter, and it's just like went to Peter's heart. I can only understand what Peter went through at that time. It's like, oh, I've been through with Jesus for these 3 years, and then I say, I don't even know the man. Put yourself in that position for a moment. I don't know. I don't know you. Maybe a husband to a spouse, to his wife, a wife to her husband, a parent to a child, a child to a parent, a friend to a friend. I don't know that person. When times get tough, thinking maybe you're going to die or something, I haven't nothing to do with it. What is that? Is that true love? Well, let's think about it for a moment. Jesus loved Peter. After Peter denied him, Jesus still went to that cross and died for him, knowing full well that he was going to grant Peter forgiveness. Also, one other thing, Jesus knew that Peter was going to be the head of the church to start out. He was going to use Peter mightily for his kingdom. When the Holy Spirit came, I believe it was Peter the one that spoke boldly. It was there at the beginning of the true church there. So now this is a change of heart, if you will, or a time, maybe a testing, if you will. I don't know. Think of it as you wish. Jesus' charge to Peter, okay, says this. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where you would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So, when Jesus says about lovest thou me, and Peter replying, in the English version, love is used the same way. Okay? But there's different kinds of love. There's the agape love, there's the phileo love, and those are the two I believe is referring to here, but there's other types of love as well. Jesus now is the one talking about agape love. Peter replies with phileo love, which is, and you might know better than me, but it's kind of like just a friendly love, you know, a kindly love, etc., like that. But Jesus keeps saying, hey, I think it's the first time he asked, do you love me, agape love? And I think the third time he's basically saying, Peter, are you even my friend? He's getting to the point, like he's trying to dig this out of Peter and say, do you even love me? Do you care for me? What is this? I don't think we can get the full meaning here just by reading the English, but it's a serious time, a heart-wrenching time for Jesus to speak into Peter and say, you know what? Think about this more. Where is your heart for me? Where is your heart for the church, for one another? I ask you today, if Jesus says, speaking of the agape love first here, if Jesus said to you, do you have the agape love, which is the unconditional love, which means loving no matter what, do you have that for Jesus today? Ask yourself that question. Do you truly have that love for Jesus? We're going to hear about love for others later today. But think about, first of all, do we truly love Jesus from our heart? Again, you can't go back to it. If you have not received the love of Christ, it's hard. You can't give what you don't have. Okay? So we're going to talk about this for a little bit. And there's just so much, but our time is going to be so limited here. So just going to scratch the surface like sandpaper gets on some wood. You know, just scratches the surface there because it goes so much more than this. But I'm going to ask you some things. Ask you questions. We're going to talk about what it means to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So we talked about Jesus speaking to the heart of Peter. And again, when Holy Spirit came in Pentecost, we celebrate today, Pentecost Sunday, God did a mighty work in Peter and many others' lives too. So I'm going to ask you some questions here and try to get you thinking. It's not to condemn you, but just to get some thoughts thinking about in life, where are you at in life? Can you answer these questions or make these statements? Let me put it this way. Can you make these statements in truth from your heart? Are you willing to say to Jesus, I am willing to do what you want me to do? Anything. Are you willing to give what you want me to give? Are you willing to say what you want me to say? Are you willing to go where you want me to go? And you can goes on and on and on. Are you willing, out of the love that the Lord has put in your heart to him, are you willing to do these things? Or you say, you know what? God, I can sort of say, but I'm kind of scared to do that. Or, man, I don't really want to do that. Are you sure, God? You're asking me to do this? Remember what Naaman? I think the story of Naaman comes here. He had the leprosy, remember? And he went. And Elisha sent his servant to talk to Naaman and said, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to go into the River Jordan and dip 7 times. And he went away in a rage and said, wait a minute, these rivers in Syria or whatever, way much better. But his servants, people with them, said, if he would have asked you to do a hard thing, you would have done it. But he asked you a very simple thing to do. All you have to do is go in the Jordan River and dip 7 times. What did he do? He did it. He did it out of obedience. Maybe Jesus is asking you to do something little. You think of like, oh yeah, no, I'm too good for that. Maybe it's pride in your heart. Jesus, are you serious? You want me to talk to this person? You want me to go to this person to their house and really say that to them? Or give the last $20 to, you know, whatever? Where's your heart? The Lord gives us all gifts. He's blessed each one of us in many ways. Are you thankful? I think of the feeding the 5,000, for example, the boy that had the fish and the bread. That's all he had. And what did Jesus do with that little bit? He fed the 5,000 people, 5,000 men, plus the children and women, maybe 15, 20,000. We don't know the exact number. All it took was from that boy. Now, could Jesus have used someone else some other way? He could have. But he used what that little boy had. Whatever the Lord gives you, is it being used for God's kingdom? Out of love for the Lord, out of love for others. I think of the statement, put God in the center and everything will come together. Put God, our first and foremost love. Think about it when you first came to Jesus. I can think about a time. Now, some people come to Jesus in different ways. Now, Jesus is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? I'll be honest with you. I came more out of a heart of pride, being scared of going to hell. I knew Jesus. I came to Jesus. Some people come to Jesus out of just a complete knowing God's love and saying, oh, wow, you love me so much, I'm going to love you back. And maybe, you know, for me, it's maybe a mix of that. I don't know. But we come to Jesus in different ways. Sometimes we don't fully realize the love that God has for us. And over time, we can realize it more and more. I mean, hopefully we're all growing in the Lord day by day. So, you know, if you haven't come to Jesus yet, if you haven't come to that moment, don't wait another day. Come on, we're not promised another day or another week or another month. If the Lord is speaking to you, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, answer the call in humility. I'm going to talk a little bit about loving God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. How do we come to God? Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you cannot come to me. What do little children, you think of little children, what do they come? In trust, in humility, faith in the Lord. He wants us to have a relationship with him. So we need to trust him. We need to receive that love that he has for us first. Once we do that, we can give it back to him. He wants a relationship with us. Do you realize he is our Savior, but he's also our King? And when Jesus is our Savior, he is our brother also, and we become children of the Most High God, brothers and sisters to him and to each other. He wants to study scriptures. So loving the Word, the Bible, we just read out of the Bible. This is God's Word to us. He wants us in our love for him, to be obedient to him in the big things and the small things. It's not a pick and choose, like a buffet and pick, oh, you want to obey here, obey here, and obey here, but not obey here. You know, sometimes we may pray and fast for things, but we don't see the answers, or maybe we don't see it right away. And there could be a variety of reasons. I'm not saying anything is a particular reason, but maybe God's waiting on simple obedience. Maybe there's something in your life that's not right. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to confess some sin. Maybe you need to draw closer to Him. Maybe there's pride in your life. I don't know. Ask God what's in your heart. Where, you know, ask Him to correct you, to lead you, to be led in His peace and direction. God wants us to serve others. Jesus was the perfect servant. He served, and that's a love to God. You remember Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was the perfect example for us. Practicing gratitude and thankfulness to God. When we do that, when we thank God for things, we realize, you know what? He is the giver. And realize He's the one that has given us different things in life, the gifts, our needs, our health, our strength, whatever it is. He wants us to engage in community with others, with other Christians. And if you neglect these things, what's going to happen? It's going to be harder to live the Christian life. We need to give God all the glory, praise, and honor, not some of it. Pursue holiness. Turning away from sin, pursuing His righteousness. Spiritual circumcision, cutting out what is not good in His sight. Cutting it out. And if the eye, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, what does Jesus say? Pluck it out. Or cut off your hand or whatever it is. Whatever is there's causing sin in your life, cut that out. He wants us to, you know, draw closer to Him each day. Complete surrender. What happens in a war? Or it used to be, you know, in the battle, what they would do is one army surrenders to the other. They would raise the white flag and maybe run out of horse, I don't know. But they would say, hey, I give up. That's what Jesus wants us to say to Him. Complete surrender. Lord, as we asked those statements earlier, I am willing to go where You want me to go. I'm willing to say what You want me to say. I'm willing to give what You want me to give, etc., etc. Surrendering Your will. Taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. Jesus took the cross. Remember, in His, shall I say, weakness, when He was praying, He said, Lord, if it's Your will, take this cross or take this cup from me. Man, my flesh is weak. And unless God, if You're serious, if I can continue on without having to go to the cross and truly give myself, please take that away from me. He was in a very difficult situation. You can imagine Satan really tempting Him. We know Satan has tempted Him a number of times in the Bible there. But Jesus even had that Himself. But yet He said, okay, nevertheless, not Your will, but mine, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. He said, God, I'm going to do what You're going to. You've brought me here for this purpose. I'm going to give my life for each person on this earth. Worshiping the Lord. Worship Him in song. Worship Him in prayer. When you're going down the road, when you're in your bed, when you're on your knees, when you're running down, when you're running on a treadmill, whatever it is, you can worship the Lord any time of life. He just wants us to have that true worship. Another thing is taking thoughts captive to the beings of Jesus Christ. That was a verse I had, you know, over time too. You know what? Our thoughts can go crazy at times. At least my thoughts. Maybe your thoughts are perfect. I don't think they are, but, you know, the Scripture says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought. We can't control all the thoughts that come into our mind immediately, you know, before they come. However, when those thoughts come, because they will, when those thoughts come, you've probably heard the saying, if a bird lands on your head and you leave it there, that's like taking a thought that's not good and leaving it there and dwelling on it, letting it build a nest and all that stuff, right? You know, maybe you have a root of bitterness towards somebody. Let's face that. Maybe there's a little bit of unforgiveness or jealousy, whatever it is. You let that thought take captive, lust, whatever it is. You let that thought take captive, to dwell and to think about it and on and what's going to happen? It's like that bird building a nest, and then it takes over your thoughts and mind. However, what happens if that bird lands? You say, no, bird, get it away. It'll flee, right? We have a bird feeder at the house there, and we put it out. And you know what? For you animal lovers, maybe you think I'm bad, but you know, we love it. We want these colorful birds to come, and they do little singing and chirping and da-da-da, right? But then these bigger blackbirds come. And what happens? They scare away the other ones. The other ones kind of, you know, and they try to take over the thing. And we're like, no, I don't. So we go like bang on the window or shout, and they fly off and get away. But you know what? That's what it is. Satan tries to put these thoughts in our mind, okay? And if those take hold, what happens? Is it good? Is it good to think lustful thoughts? Is it good to have bitterness, unforgiveness? No, we know it's not. So right now, I just you know, let the Lord, the Holy Spirit, work in your life and say, Lord, if there's anything, any root of any evil, Lord, remove it from me. Help me to take every thought captive to your obedience, Lord Jesus. I want to pursue a life of holiness and righteousness in you. I want to love you with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And think about our heart. You know, there's different things. Strength is one, it's like might, very much utmost capacity, encompasses all our resources, talents, opportunities. Well, I tell you, I fail. There are opportunities I have not taken in my life, which I should have or could have. But we can't dwell on the past. The Lord only gives us today. We can take the opportunities God presents us. And you know what? Those opportunities may be some of the opportunities we like that come out of nowhere. And the Lord's saying, okay, are you good enough? Are you too good to help this person? Or, you know? The heart, loving God with our heart, represents emotions, desires, and our will, central to our being. Our soul refers to the life force and its essence, signifies deep connection and vitality with the Lord. From the innermost part, the core of our being, not just loving God from our mind, but loving God from our heart with all we've got. Loving him with our mind, as our intellect, our thoughts, we talked about thoughts already, emphasizes understanding and contemplation, having total commitment. What happens if, in a marriage, if one is committed and one is not? It doesn't go very well, does it? It's like having a contract with God. God always keeps his side of the contract. We fail at times, but he's factored that in our lives. He knows. He knew that Peter was going to deny him, you know, before he even created the earth. He knew this was all come about. We heard about how, you know, God came from the beginning of the earth, the creation, and the whole story. It was presented very well yesterday. Holistic love encourages loving God in every aspect of life, okay? And then it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It says, underscores the importance of loving God. And really into the Jewish faith, and it talks about encompassing, this is the whole law and the commandments. This is everything. If you can love God with all your heart, everything else just falls in place. Because you know the law, it taught a lot. We'll try to finish up here shortly. So we love him because he first loved us. One thing, the Lord plants the seed in our lives. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and draws us. Sometimes, some of us will answer the Lord on his first attempt. If you're a parent and you have a child that obeys you or has obeyed you every single time on the very first time, raise your hand. I want to meet you and talk with you about that. No, seriously, if there's anyone here. All right, no one's either it's okay. So probably you had, for those who are parents, had a child that did not obey on the first time every single time. Okay? I'm sure I didn't. But the Lord wants us to answer. He plants the seed. He gives us the seed of his love, which we heard about. What happens when you plant a seed? You water it and everything in good soil. What's going to happen? It's going to grow. But what happens to that seed first? That seed has to die. It has to be buried before it can come alive. Just like Jesus died and was buried before he came back to life again. Jesus is alive and well right now. Our life, we have to die. The scripture says to die daily, okay? We have to be like that seed. Before that seed can sprout, we have to die before the Lord. Our heart, our will has to die and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Can you truly say that from your heart? There are promises of God. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses, says, all things, or now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So it's a promise. If we love him, all things work together for good. So let's think about for a moment, okay? What about in the difficult times of life? Let's face it. There are difficult times of life. And for losing a child suddenly. On our prayer request, people with cancer. For those of you who've had cancer but not diagnosed, you know what it's like. Now, everybody faces it differently. When you get something like that, or maybe some big accident, or all of a sudden you lose your job, or there's a major, your spouse is unfaithful to, whatever, you name it. A surprising thing in life that catches you off guard, say, what? I did not expect that at all to happen. Do you love God through that? Remember, we're talking about the agape love. Unconditional love. He has that for us. I've failed the Lord many times in my life, but his love is still there for me. What happens when those things happen to you? Do you still love God as much as you did when things are going great? You're in a nice, happy Christian setting, per se. Life's going good. You're young. You got your life ahead of you, and wow, just you got great friendships, and just you got all A's in school. Work is going good, great, whatever it is. Is it as easy to love God when the hard times come too? Or not? The Lord wants us to. Remember, he loves us first, and he will work all things together for good when we love him. It's a promise. Just encourage each one as we close up here. Just want to ask, where is your heart today? Where is it? Only you know. I don't know where your heart is. You can have the biggest smile on your face, but be the most miserable person inside, or vice versa. Maybe you're just so happy inside. It should come out of the outside, but you know what? You can fake it to people, too. Fake it to make it, if you will. Or you can be true and say, and call out for help. Like, I am struggling in this situation. God has given us one another. He's given us the church to talk with, to encourage each other, to pray for each other. So by doing that, we can call out for help. The Lord provides help directly to us sometimes. He provides it through people. He provides it through many different ways. Are we thankful to him? Let's be thankful. Just want to encourage each one. Let's just love the Lord. It's a commandment. It shouldn't be hard. When we realize when he first loved us, he wants us to love us back, love him back. Just the same way. So much love to each one of you. God bless each one of you. And one of your brothers, finish up, please.
I appreciate the word. I was thinking as I was sitting there, why does it matter? Like, why are we spending a whole weekend talking about God's love for us? Our love for God, our love for others, why does it matter? And I was thinking about, we are all designed by a creator. And we believe that. And we were designed to operate a certain way. God designed us to live a certain way. And if any of you have ever operated any kind of piece of machinery, just take an airplane, for example. If I went to Brother Mark and he's getting ready to fly the plane, and I said, hey, I fueled it up for you. And I had a bunch of cherry Pepsi, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I fueled up your plane with Pepsi. Would he get in there and turn the key or push the button and try to fly that plane? He might. I mean, he's a brave guy. But he might say to me, That machine is not designed to run on Pepsi. It's not going to happen for long. And I was thinking about it. God has designed us to run a certain way, on a certain fuel. And Jesus expressed that when that lawyer asked him, what are the great commandments? Jesus said, let me give you the fuel that helps humans flourish. And he quoted the Shema, this prayer that the Jews say at least twice a day from Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4 or 5. Go look it up. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. There's the first piece. And then he goes on to say a little more. You shall love your neighbor. And the second commandment's like unto it, just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And how many humans throughout history have used the fuel perfectly and have flourished? Only one. There's only one that has ever run the way it was supposed to run, and that was Jesus himself. But he gave us the recipe for the fuel for human flourishing. If we could have all the time and money back that's been spent in psychology to try to figure out how do humans flourish, how do we live up to our potential? If I could have all the money for all the books written for how to be everything you can be, it's all there. He gave it to us. And we don't do it perfectly. But the more we know how to love God, how to receive his love, how to love him back, and how to love others, we will come closer and closer to operating the way we were designed to operate in the first place. You know, there's a song that most of you won't know. But a few of you, if you nod as if you know this song, you're going to age yourself, so just don't move your head. But there's a song by a group, I think, called the Teddy Bears. Don't go look them up. And it's called To Know Him is to Love Him. It's 1959. Part of it goes, to know him is to love him. It is not a religious song. But sometimes I think about those lyrics, and I'm like, how do we love God better? We know him better. The more you know God, the more you will love him. And so I just want to encourage all of you, as we discuss and think about and meditate on the love of God, just know the more you know him, the more you will love him. And by extension, the better you'll love others. And I'm sure we'll hear about that tonight. So may God bless the word we've heard. And if a brother or sister wants to announce a hymn that's appropriate to close our service, I appreciate it.